This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And we sprung ahead overnight. I think this means it really is going to be spring this time. And we've got Greg Matzik here with us this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
I am terrible.
Okay.
Thanks for asking. No, I don't know. There's something about that stress of a clock change where I kept waking up all night and getting, you know, we changed the clocks before we went to bed, but I kept going and checking, okay, that clock's okay, that clock's okay. And of course, my phone is going to automatically update, but I don't think I slept last night.
You sound anxious, Libby. Is everything all right?
No, not really. No, but really, do you find when we change times like that, does it affect you?
It doesn't, because we are down to zero clocks in the Matzik household that actually have to be changed by an individual. We don't have a clock in the home that we have to physically go to and start pressing buttons to change it. Everything is automatic now, which is a wonderful life to live. So I don't have to go through the stress and anxiety of actually doing it and thinking, well, I'm going to lose an hour of sleep here, whatever is going to happen to me the next day or so. To me, it's not unlike just traveling to Florida and back for a weekend or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. And what about your car?
Car does it automatically.
My car, it takes me about 2 weeks to figure it out.
Okay.
Because I can never remember. What did I do 6 months ago? I mean, to me, there's a reason that maybe we should get off of this, springing ahead and falling back, and just let's just have the same time all the time.
Well, I'm down on that idea. I totally get that idea. It's what they do in Arizona, right? So if you're out in spring training, it's now a two-hour difference instead of a one-hour difference like it was for the first part of spring training. I think I've got a solution here, Libby. We'll hire you an intern. We'll get you a personal intern that'll handle all of this kind of stuff for you and not even mention that it's daylight savings. You could just go about your day, and I think everything will be fine.
Hey, Isaac, are you available?
I suppose. Maybe.
He's vigorously shaking his head.
In which direction? Of course, as he knows, at least for a couple hours every weekend, he has to follow me around and make sure everything goes on right. And that's what he does as a great producer. But Greg, you are here with us this morning, and I'm really happy about that, because we have you not just on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. We also have our WTMJ conversation with you that's going to take place at 11 o'clock this morning.
Well, I'm very thankful for that. I appreciated the opportunity to tape with you. That's a first-timer in my radio career to be on WTMJ conversations, not as a host, but as a subject. So I was flattered that you thought of me enough to have me on the show. It was a fun conversation.
And isn't it weird to be on the other side? People asking you questions?
Yes, it is. So I you kind of go back into host mode, right? I tried not to do that in our conversation, but we covered a lot of ground, and it was kind of fun to reflect back on some of the fun things that I've been able to do over the course of my time here at WTMJ and beyond in other walks of my life through college and growing up in the Milwaukee area. It's kind of a fun reflection point.
Well, and you can hear that all at 11 o'clock this morning. And don't worry, we'll remind you throughout the morning. Greg, you are here with us. You're going to be covering sports, too, so I've got you working hard.
No problem. Happy to do it.
Okay, well, before we do anything else, let's recognize another everyday hero. Here's WTMJ's Eric Bilstead.
Wisconsin's Morning News identifies an everyday hero as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning they'd be saving a life. Today we head to Orlando, Oklahoma. The Life Christian Academy High School basketball team is playing the Longhorns of Dover High. 3 minutes into the game, and 16-year-old Randy Vitalis drops into full cardiac arrest.
He just scored a layup, and I was getting the ball in, about to dribble up the court, and I turn around, and he's on the ground.
Magnus Miller, an 18-year-old on the opposing team, tells KOCO ABC5 he realized the kid needed help.
I didn't have any, second thoughts. I just jumped right in, took control.
Miller, a trained lifeguard, did take control. He grabbed an AED off the wall. He told school staff how to use it. He even had two gentlemen help him perform CPR for several minutes as they waited for the ambulance to arrive. And it worked. The teenage boy survived and is now recovering. These first responders were asked about what Miller did.
Do you guys think that that young man saved his life.
No, absolutely. 100%.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
An incredible life-saving story. CPR instructors will always say during a time of need, it's important for someone to take control and give the orders. And this boy did. He saved a 16-year-old's life.
It's pretty surreal. It's weird, like hearing someone say that you saved his life. But honestly, it wasn't me. It was really God just being there for me and being there for him. Obviously, I didn't go there to play basketball that day.
We do have video of Miller and Vitalis meeting each other at the hospital afterward for the first time. You can see it. Just text the word hero to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. Thank you, Magnus, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
And I think this is just another indication of how important it is to have AEDs everywhere where people could be. They're not that expensive. Let's just put them wherever we can. We've got a very busy morning ahead. We're going to be sharing a story about the unjust arrest of a runaway slave that took place right here in southeastern Wisconsin. Also, we're going to find out what amenities apartment dwellers in Milwaukee want most. Are you aware that Marquette coach Shaka Smart is getting a new honor? We'll tell you what that is. Tim Gibbons is here from the Milwaukee Business Journal, and he's going to share which summer festival is going to be affected by companies dropping DEI initiatives. That's an interesting story. Sandy Max has Sunday What's on Tap with a preview of a real-life horror story. Our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, warns us about PayPal scams. Of course, we're going to take a look back at the Week in Review. Isaac Markert's here, and he's pushing those buttons. Greg Matzik is in the newsroom, and Greg's going to be with us in just 2 minutes with sports on WTMJ. It's going to be a beautiful Sunday. We're going to be up there around 60 degrees. Yes, it really does seem like we sprung forward in more ways than one. It's 34 degrees at 8:14 on WTMJ.
Time for WTMJ Sports Update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Heartbreak for the Bucks on the home floor last night, losing a 111-109 decision to the Orlando Magic, snapping a four-game winning streak for the Bucks. Damian Lillard missed a three with 2 seconds left that would have given the Bucks the lead.
In the right corner, Green to inbound, gets it to Lillard, 6.6 to go, Wagner on him, Lillard, he's going to try a step-back three for the win! Wide right, no good. And Magic are going to win 111-109.
37 for Giannis in a losing effort. Milwaukee back on the home floor tonight. They'll take on the Cleveland Cavaliers, best team in the Eastern Conference, according to record. Coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock on WTMJ. College basketball, 20th-ranked Marquette closes out the regular season with an overtime loss to 6th-ranked St. John's, 86-84 the final. Chase Ross collected a defensive rebound with 3 seconds to play, but the ball was knocked out of his hands. And St. John's took advantage.
Chase Ross, he had it. He lost it. They'll shoot and score. If it's in time, they won the game. Marquette had the ball. It looks like Ejiofor won the game. We'll see if it was before. Final, St. John's 86, Marquette 84.
Steve, the Homer Tour with the call on 94.5 ESPN. Next up for Marquette, the Big East Tournament. They'll take on Xavier in the first round Thursday afternoon. 12th-ranked Badgers men's basketball team falls on Senior Day to Penn State, 86-75. UW headed next to the Big Ten tournament, qualifying as the number 6 seed. Brewers pick up Cactus League scheduled this afternoon against the Royals. Our next broadcast scheduled for Friday, March 14th. And it's a big week in the NFL. The league year and free agent period begins officially on Wednesday.
And we've got Greg Matzik. He's just doing our sports and our news, and he's kind of here with us as a co-host this morning as well. All right. Now, Greg, I want you to share something that happened a little bit earlier this morning.
Yeah, what you got?
You broke something.
There's a studio microphone that is in need of repair. I don't know what happened here. So I the same process every day, kind of grabbing the mic. You sort of pull it in front of your face. Everybody's a different height here that works in the newsroom. And in the process of doing that, it just sort of yanked off its standard. This is not a duct tape sort of fix. This is a wholesale sort of fix. And Eric Bilstad's going to be very mad at me because it was at his desk.
I was going to say, yeah, this is going to be something that Bilston's going to have to deal with in the morning, because we know we're not going to get it fixed before tomorrow morning at 6 a.m.
I'm going to find some caution tape at Walgreens and just put it around the area just so everybody knows not to do anything to it. Just leave it be. Somebody's going to fix it from engineering.
You don't think Gorilla Glue will do it, do you?
No, this is beyond. It's not a clean break either. That's the problem. It's all jagged. There's plastic sticking out, and it's not a good situation.
Aren't you glad you came in on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, right. Just come in and break stuff. That's what I'm supposed to do here on the weekends.
Greg Matzik, he's here with us this morning on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:19. Joining us in just a couple minutes, Tim Gibbons is going to be here, and you're going to want to hear which summer festival might be affected by cuts in DEI. We've got it right here on WTMJ. Well, we sprung ahead last night, and it is going to feel like spring today. It's going to be mostly sunny, breezy, mild, with a high of 60 degrees. Tonight, clear, cool, down to 36. But tomorrow, the sun comes back, and it's going to get really nice, 61 for our high temperature. Tuesday, we cool down just a little bit to 46 with some clouds. On Wednesday, same thing with 48 on a cloudy day. But the sun comes back on Thursday, and we're looks like we've got a high of 51. But the next 2 days are going to be absolutely beautiful in southeastern Wisconsin. In Cedarburg right now, it's 35 degrees. Oak Creek has 33. Brookfield's at 34. And we have 35 degrees at WTMJ at 822. It's time to check in on our Siding Unlimited talk and text line with Timothy Gibbons. He's the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. And here's a story, Tim, that caught my attention. And, you know, we hear a lot about DEI and how some of those initiatives are going away. And it may just have an effect on a festival right here in Milwaukee in the summer. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, so we started looking at this when kind of that question came up. There's obviously the national conversation around DEI has changed a lot in the past couple of years. So we started wondering, how is that going to affect, or how it would affect a range of organizations? But clearly Pride Fest has benefited from organizations who want to get in front of that audience and want to show their commitment to diversity. So Pride Fest Milwaukee tells us that they are anticipating a drop in sponsorships as some of these big companies pull back in response to either executive orders or just general change in the culture that has them not putting their money behind such projects.
That's fascinating. Have they speculated how much financially that is going to hurt them?
Yeah. They told us that they could see sponsorships dropping by about 30%, which would be about a $50,000 drop. And at the same time, they're getting hit, as all the festivals in Milwaukee are, with rising prices. So we've talked the past couple of weeks about tariffs and their impacts on manufacturers, which obviously in the Milwaukee economy, that's a big issue. But this is another way that those changes on a national level are going to play out on a local level. A lot of the beads and cups that you're drinking beer out of and just stuff that goes into putting on a festival is imported, and those imports have tariffs on them. The prices are going to go up. So the festival season is going to have some challenges this year.
Wow, it certainly is. Another place that's, they're having a major turnaround option. And I want to ask you about this one, because how did we know this was being produced right here in Milwaukee? And that's this Tiger Aesthetics Medical. And it looks like they're going to be expanding in Franklin.
They are. And it's fascinating when you say, you know, who would have thought that was made in Milwaukee? So as your regular listeners know, moved here middle of last year and have been immersing myself in the business community. And it feels like every week I am just fascinated by some of the interesting businesses, particularly on the manufacturing front that you have here. So the story that you're talking about is Tiger Aesthetics, which is part of a company called Tiger Biosciences. They make, here in Franklin, breast augmentation devices, basically the silicone inserts that are used for that. So there's been an operation doing that manufacturing in Franklin for a while. It used to be a company called Sientra, and last year Sientra went bankrupt. As part of the bankruptcy, they sold their operation to Tiger. Tiger has a whole portfolio of these companies that do everything from fillers to tissue volume enhancers, a whole bunch of basically aesthetic medical things. So when Sientra went bankrupt, they were saying they were going to lay off 128 people who worked at that Franklin site. Tiger swoops in, makes a deal to buy up the company's assets and add them to their portfolio. And now they're looking at putting $50 million into that site and expanding what they're doing there.
Who would think that Franklin, Wisconsin is the capital of breast implant businesses?
I mean, you know, it doesn't quite have the same thing as a dairy state, but well.
All right, we're talking with Tim Gibbons. He is the editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. Let's move on and talk about Advocate Health. Now, they're planning a $50 million wellness hub. Where's that going to be?
So this is interesting, and listeners might know this because it's been a long-running project. So it's going to go into the former Wisconsin Avenue school site on Wisconsin Avenue, as you might guess. It's going to be called The Beacon, and it will provide a range of physical, mental, and social wellness programs. So this basically is an old school that's been shut down. It was bought by a developer who was planning on using it as a site of a hotel, if I recall correctly. But instead, the property will be used by Advocate Health for this massive health equity center.
And Tim, let's also talk about MSOE and what they're doing as far as focusing on artificial intelligence. Now, this is another interesting story.
Yeah, it is. And it's another one of those projects that's going to have a impact far beyond the actual, you know, what happens inside the building. You know, like with Aurora Health, where they're taking a building that's now empty and bringing life to it. In MSOE's case, they're going to be building a new building. So they are embarking on a $125 million project investing in artificial intelligence study and training. And as part of that, they plan on building a $76.5 million academic building that will house their School of Advanced Computing. They've been fundraising for this for a couple years, kind of in a quiet mode. Now they're talking about it. They're looking at having a four-story building at basically downtown near Milwaukee and State Street on a university parking lot, really expanding their physical plant. And also having a big impact on both the students and, frankly, I think probably on industry in the area. MSOE is responsible for a lot of the workforce, a lot of the highly trained workforce here, and this just puts them more on the cutting edge.
You know what I find interesting, Tim, and it seems like we're talking about it almost every week, and that's the increased focus locally on AI.
It really is something that the business community has just really embraced. Obviously, AI is not a local thing. There's like no expectation that Milwaukee would become kind of a hub for this sort of thing. But you have MSOE, who's had a supercomputer for years due to the generosity of one of their alumni. So it makes sense that they would lean into it. But like you have the technical colleges where they're rolling out, or they have rolled out, one of the first majors in artificial intelligence for that workforce. Carroll University just rolled out a major for this upcoming year in artificial intelligence. Several of the schools are adding classes in that topic to other curriculum. It's really becoming a thing that the local education establishment sees as a cutting edge that they want to be on.
And finally, Tim, let's talk about that entrepreneur who's bringing a new facility to Milwaukee. And I understand it's a really huge sport in places like Latin America and even Miami.
So I had not heard of Paddle before we started reporting about this. So apologies to any of listeners who are big fans. But there's been a rise in racket sport playing in recent years, but mainly we're talking about pickleball. This is not pickleball. It's called Paddle. It was invented in Mexico in the 60s. It's kind of a cross between tennis and squash. So there's an entrepreneur on the south side who is looking to bring the state's first indoor paddle complex to Milwaukee. It's going to have three courts. It's going up before the city zoning board to change it. It's basically going to a warehouse, so they have to change it from being a warehouse usage to allowing this. But the sport's huge in Latin America. There was a big tournament in Miami recently where they got several thousand people to watch, and you know, celebrities, and it is seen as the hot new growth area when it comes to racket sports, and we're going to see how it plays out in Milwaukee.
Is it played on a clay court, grass, or what do they play this on?
It's inside. It's kind of the everything around the court is different, but it looks like the court itself is similar to what you'd expect as like an indoor tennis court or indoor pickleball court sort of thing. I mentioned pickleball. There is a surge in racket sport facilities across the board. Ace Pickleball Club is bringing 17 pickleball courts to the old Pick and Save at Ruby Isle. There's two or three other companies who are bringing those courts here. So it's indoor, but spring's coming, so if you want to pick up a new sport, might be the time to do it. The goal is to have people be able to get out and be active year-round.
Sounds fun. Timothy Gibbons, editor-in-chief of the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's always great to have you here.
It is great to see you. Once that place opens up, we'll have to meet up for a game.
8:29 and 35 degrees at WTMJ. Welcome back to the second half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. A little bit later on this half hour, we are going to be talking with Sandy Max about a very disturbing film that is based on a true story. Wait until you hear that one. But first, we had a raucous address in Washington this week. There was a violent stabbing in Racine County, and the Greek Freak became Mr. 20,000 and so much more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back.
And the Oscar goes to...
Anora.
I want to thank the Academy for recognizing a truly independent film.
Conan O'Brien was the ideal host. He was witty and silly, as you would expect.
Little fact for you, Anora uses the F word 479 times. That's three more than the record set by Carla Sofia Gascon's publicist.
A packed house at the Baird Center as Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson delivers his 2025 State of the City address.
Milwaukee's people are strong, and so too is the state of our city.
Our guest, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. I specifically thank you for the speed bumps on Prospect Avenue. They've been wonderful for my daily commute.
Milwaukee Public Schools is temporarily shutting down an elementary school due to dangerous levels of lead.
Shocked that this is happening in 2025, many decades after we knew why lead was bad.
What's round, filled with deliciousness, and the star of Fat Tuesday?
It's me.
If you said poonchki, you're right.
We're doing about 40,000 poonchkis between today and tomorrow.
That's a lot of poonchki.
That's 144 eggs.
Oops. President Trump speaking to Congress this hour.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Citizens, America is back.
Mr. Green, take your seat. Take your seat. The chair now directs the sergeant-at-arms to restore order. Remove this gentleman from the chamber.
I'm willing to suffer whatever punishment is available.
Hand me down a walking cane.
The house will come to order.
Shh. He shushed me.
Another one?
Yes, another shusher.
Welcome, Dr. Casillas. We're excited to work alongside you.
When you applied for this position, did you think you were going to, start March 15th and have the boots on the ground already?
I did not.
Sidney Moncrief, Bucks legend, joins us in studio. How do you view your time in Milwaukee?
Life-changing. The importance of where you play could never be underrated.
Giannis cracks 20,000 points for his career.
How have you been able to stay focused on the ultimate goal, get through these obstacles to reach this point in your career?
What separates me from the other players around me and the people that have played the game is that my heart, my spirit, my work ethic, and how disciplined I am to repeat it.
Cracking cheese, Gromit.
Cheesemaker Steve Stetler with Decatur Dairy has been competing in the U.S. Cheese Championship as a master cheesemaker for more than 40 years.
Whether it's a little discrepancy in flavor or, there's some oddball thing that shows up. It's a true competition.
A 15-year-old accused of stabbing his mother to death in their Caledonia home is charged with first-degree intentional homicide.
This was an extremely violent but planned offense.
A Summerfest announcement. This sound just takes me back. 311 is going to headline on July 3rd at the BMO Pavilion.
It is finally time to investigate 311!
A decision has been made in the Morgan Geyser case. She's connected to the Slender Man stabbing one of two girls that stabbed her classmate.
The team preparing Morgan Geyser's conditional release plan recently learned she was reading the book Rent Boy by Gary Indiana.
The state has not met its burden by clear and convincing evidence to show that that Ms. Geyser is a risk of safety to herself.
Today is the day that a convicted murderer in South Carolina will be executed by firing squad.
Sigmund had a choice between lethal injection, firing squad, or the electric chair as his manner of execution.
If something happened to your family member and it was that person that did it, would you want to be that person to go and be on that firing squad?
Wow.
And let them do it.
Barbaric and ironic.
What are we, gay?
Putki.
How do you characterize it?
Thursday.
Losing the hour, I just get evil.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
There's actually somebody named Gary Indiana? That's where I'm from. All right, that is the Weekend Review brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited. I'm Libby Collins. It's 8:41. It's going to be a beautiful day today. We sprung ahead last night. We're going to get up to 60 degrees, and we are at 36 at 8:41 on WTMJ. And coming up in just a couple minutes, if you use your PayPal account, be careful. There's something to watch for. Michelle Ryan will be with us next. When you're buying things, whether it's online or even from a person or business, they're asking you to do it by PayPal. Well, you can with so many things. You've got to watch out before you use that particular form of payment. And joining us on our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is Michelle Reinen from DatCap. And what are you hearing about PayPal scammers, Michelle?
Well, DatCap has received reports from consumers who've received fake PayPal invoices from scammers. One consumer received a convincing invoice for a cryptocurrency purchase that they didn't make, and it included a customer service number that they were encouraged to call if they didn't recognize the purchase. However, the number was not even for PayPal's actual customer service department, and we believe it was likely just a fake number set up by the scammer. So consumers need to be mindful and watchful because PayPal is very commonly impersonated in phishing schemes via email.
Now, what are some of the other variations that you might get on this PayPal scam?
These convincing emails often ask consumers to send them money, personal information, private data such as bank account numbers or account login details. And if a consumer receives this suspicious invoice or any other form of an email, they shouldn't react right away. Instead, just pause, think about the situation, check the records to see if they really made any purchases that matched the description in the email by logging into your account the way you normally would, not clicking any links, and then talk about the invoice to someone that they really trust. And just, I can't encourage enough, do not open any links or use any contact information provided in these requests.
And finally, if you get one of these requests and you're not quite sure if it's legitimate or not, who do we call?
Well, you can call PayPal by contacting the company's help center, often found on the official website, but DatCap's also there to help. So call the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128, or again, go to our website at datcp.wi.gov.
It's 8:46, coming up in 1 minute, Greg Matzikin Sports on WTMJ.
Time for WTMJ Sports Update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. The Bucks' four-game winning streak ends with a 111-109 loss to the Orlando Magic. Damian Lillard missed a three with 2 seconds left that would have given the Bucks a late lead.
In the right corner, Green to inbound, gets it to Lillard. 6.6 to go, Wagner on him. Lillard, he's going to try a step-back three for the win! Wide right, no good. And Magic are going to win 111-109.
Milwaukee back on the home floor tonight against the Eastern Conference leading Cleveland Cavaliers. Coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock on WTMJ. 20th-ranked Marquette falls in the regular season finale at Fiserv Forum 86-84, an overtime loss to 6th-ranked St. John's. The Marquette Golden Eagles move on to the Big East tournament. They'll take on Xavier Thursday afternoon in round number one. The Badgers are gearing up for the Big Ten tournament following a Sunday afternoon loss to Penn State, 86-75 on senior day. The NFL league year and free agent period begins Wednesday, and the Brewers resume the Cactus League schedule this afternoon against the Royals. Our next broadcast scheduled for Friday, March 14th.
Thanks a lot. Greg Matzik is here with us this morning covering news and sports. Great to have you here, Greg. And coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to be joined by Sandy Max with Sunday What's on Tap. There is a very disturbing film based on a true story. She's going to tell you about it up next on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
I've always considered myself blessed. I've known I was put on this earth to build a world where all kids can feel safe.
Ooh, just hearing that gives me chills. And we've got Sandy Max with Sunday What's on Tap. And Sandy, you know a little bit about this story that this film is based on, and tell us about it.
Good American Family. It is fascinating. It's going to be an 8-episode limited series on Hulu. It premieres in just a week or so on March 19th. This is inspired by a real life case, Libby. Natalia Grace, a Ukrainian orphan with a rare form of dwarfism, is adopted by a couple in Indiana, Christine and Michael Barnett. And this is a true story. What the weird part happens is the mom suspects that Natalia is not really a child and that she's a grown woman trying to pass off as a little girl. So it's real life drama. I would also call it true crime. It is just such a bizarre story. You know, they always say truth is stranger than fiction. I guess this is the inspiration for this. And another reason Good American Family is getting a lot of attention is because Ellen Pompeo is back on TV. You know, she was Dr. Meredith Grey for decades on Grey's Anatomy. So this is her first role after Grey's Anatomy.
I remember when this happened. I remember when it kind of broke in the news and reading about it. But to see this, like you said, in an 8-part series, I imagine they're going to go way into depth of what happened to this family. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the mother suspicious that this child, and I put that in quote marks, really wanted to kill them?
I don't know that it was a murder plot, but your entire paradigm has shifted. If you've wanted a child this long, you adopt a child with special needs, and then now you suspect that she's an actual adult human with adult teeth. So I can imagine that that would be one of your concerns because your trust is completely blown out. And they show in the trailer, the parents aren't getting along. Think about how tough it is just to raise a child and agree on all the philosophies of just raising a kid in general. Now you've got all of this literal drama attached to it. It's really bizarre. And I think it's really eye-catching. Plus, it's in addition to Ellen Pompeo. In addition to Ellen Pompeo, you've got Mark Duplass, who was in The Morning Show, and Christina Hendricks, who was in Mad Men as Joan Holloway. And then I'm also fascinated by the woman playing Natalia Grace. In real life, she's 27 years old, and she loves Grey's Anatomy, so she was thrilled to be working with Ellen Pompeo. So I think between a really good cast telling a really fascinating story, I expect a lot of people are going to be on pins and needles watching Good American Family.
Oh, and speaking about buzz, White Lotus is back. It's what? It's third season?
Yes, third season, about 3 episodes in. The next episode is released tonight at 6 o'clock. And I'll tell you, Libby, you know what's funny? White Lotus season 1 and season 2 were such big hits that the Wisconsin Dells Convention and Visitor Bureau, put out a tweet like 2 years ago saying, hey, you know, we'd love to have season 3 filming right here in Wisconsin Dells. Obviously, it didn't happen. They're filming. This is set in a beautiful island in Thailand. The beautiful, you know, it's just lush to watch. And then you add all the really over-the-top soap opera type storylines, and it's eye candy. It's fun to watch.
And again, something people always talk about. They can really get immersed in that show. Finally, talking about immersed, I understand that you're planning a trip to some of my favorite places.
I love it. So you are telling me that you have enjoyed Germany, Austria, and or the Czech Republic?
We have some very dear friends, and they're from Vienna, and we stayed with them for a little over a week, and they showed us Austria like I've never seen before, and I had been there once way long ago.
Vienna and Salzburg, Munich and Prague are the cities we're going to visit in September on this WTMJ trip that I'm hosting. Tell me what you liked about Vienna and Salzburg. What were some of your favorite experiences there?
Well, I know you're going to be doing a walking tour, and I don't know if you're including this, but you need to look into it. It's the Imperial Crypt of the Habsburg family, the Habsburgs, which ruled Austria for centuries. And I know you're thinking, you're going to a crypt? It's beneath a Capuchin church, right in the middle of the city, and you go into this place, and you talk about history and seeing the crypt of Teresa the Great. It's fascinating. It's one of the most interesting things I've ever done in my life.
Wow. To immerse yourself in history, in the place where it happens. I think that's magic. And I love that it was so impactful for you. And Vienna is such a walkable city that you can see so many attractions and beautiful architecture.
The other thing you really want to do is go to Schönbrunn Palace. It's not just the palace that was based on the gardens and the palace at Versailles. It also houses literally the oldest zoo in the world. And I spent a day there and I could have spent a week. But I'll tell you, if you've never seen pandas or koalas up close, you literally are on top of them when you go to that zoo and you see them. And it's just a great place if you get a chance to visit there, too.
That's unexpected because you think of Schönbrunn Palace, you know, you immediately think of grandeur, kind of like Versailles. You don't necessarily think the world's oldest zoo, you know?
And another thing, if you do take a tour of Schönbrunn, you want to make sure that you go to some of these side areas because there's one that houses all of the imperial coaches. There's another one where you see all of the dresses and the uniforms of the Habsburgs and even wedding gowns. And I'm telling you, it's so interesting. And I'm a history freak. So I just loved being there.
That's wonderful. And the great thing about these WTMJ trips is there are organized tours and walking tours, and we're going to take some special private brewery tours, but there is enough flexible time that you can choose your own adventure. So people who are excited about Schönbrunn Palace and taking your advice can add that at their leisure to the Vienna time. And you mentioned Salzburg. What's one of your favorite things about Salzburg?
Well, you do know Salzburg is where they filmed much of The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews. And there's a cemetery where they, I don't know if you remember in the film, the scene where they were hiding behind columns when the Nazis were coming to get them. And it was filmed right there in that cemetery. And there's just so much to see. And the gardens in Salzburg are absolutely the most beautiful I've ever seen in my life.
Aw, thank you so much for sharing your travel memories. And if Libby, hopefully you're inspiring people to join me. All the info on our September trip to Germany, Austria, and the Czech Republic, it's posted on WTMJ.com. Or heck, if you want me to email you the brochure, email me, sandy@WTMJ.com. It's just that easy. We've also got the talk and text line set up. If you just text the word trip, T-R-I-P, to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Text trip to 855-616-1620. That way on your smartphone, you can just scroll through that and browse that brochure and hopefully come along with us. Libby, can I talk you into coming back?
Oh, I'd love to. I really would. It's just a great trip. And Sandy, I know you're going to be talking about that and so much more this week on What's on Tap and What Do You Have Planned?
Libby, it's Women's History Month, so I'm trying to spotlight some stories to celebrate that, including a woman who does presentations as Mother Bickerdyke, a heroic Civil War nurse. So telling those historic stories in a really engaging way. So she'll be one of my guests in the studio, Jessie Michna.
And we'll be listening. Thanks again, Sandy.
Thanks, Libby.
It's 8:58, and speaking of history, we have a story next hour that happened right here in southeastern Wisconsin. It was a runaway slave who was arrested in Racine and brought to Milwaukee. We're going to have a director and producer of a film that's being made based on the story of Joshua Glover. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
And Greg, you mentioned that Blood Moon. I've got the times where you can watch it right here in Wisconsin. It's going to begin about 10:57 at night on Thursday, but you got to stay up till after midnight because that eclipse really isn't going to get started. They have something called the penumbral eclipse, which starts at 10:57, which means there's a little bit of a shadow, but the partial eclipse actually begins at 12:09 a.m. on Friday morning. Totality is at 1:26 a.m. and it ends at 2:31 a.m. So if you want to see it, you got to stay up late.
All right, well, just put on a marathon of House Hunters and take your way all the way up to midnight or so and beyond.
I think it'd be pretty cool, though, actually, to see.
This stuff is fascinating to me. It really is. And there was all the rage last year. I remember everybody went outside to the rooftop of our parking structure here at the Avenue to get a glimpse of solar activity, and everybody had the glasses on, right? It was an eclipse, and you wouldn't be able to see it again in our generation or our lifetime. So get out there and experience it. It feels like there's a bunch of different unique and interesting things throughout the course of the calendar year. And oftentimes, I just sort of question it. Why is the moon so orange tonight? My kids will ask me all the time. I have no idea is my usual answer. Then I go find it, and I sometimes become more confused after I read the explanation.
Oh, you should have paid attention more in astronomy class when you were in college.
I think that's right.
Yeah, neither did I. All right, so something I know you do pay attention to, and that is sports. Boy, what a heartbreaker for Marquette yesterday.
Yeah, senior day, right? You've got all the good vibes. You're on the home floor, afternoon game, national TV broadcast against a top 10 team, and you're neck and neck with them, right? Tight game, back and forth, extremely physical, very hard play. And it just sort of a not a lapse in judgment, but what happened toward the end of that game, Libby, in overtime, is St. John's missed a three-pointer that, you know, could have won the game at the buzzer. Marquette gets the rebound, so you're thinking, all right, well, 2 seconds left, maybe just heave up a full-court shot, see what happens, go to double overtime at worst. But the ball gets popped away from Marquette's Chase Ross right into the hands of a waiting St. John's player who passes it to his teammate who is right under the hoop, and he gets an easy lay-in. So a stunned crowd at Fiserv Forum.
A lot of stunned people watching it on TV, too. That was, it just was, what happened here? Here's what I'm wondering, because I know March Madness is getting underway. Tell us what you think is going to happen with the Wisconsin teams, you know, specifically Marquette and the Badgers. Do you think they're both going to be in there? And if they are, how far do you think they'll go?
Yeah, good question. So both Marquette and Wisconsin will be in the NCAA tournament. No doubt about that. They're both going to be in. The problem is Marquette is sort of faded here down the stretch. So they go from being maybe a projected number two seed, maybe now down to like a five or number six seed. So what that means is your first round matchup is going to be all the more difficult. So Marquette is just, it sort of faded down the stretch here. Some good competitive games, but just not enough wins to impress the selection committee. They will still be in the tournament. No worries about that. And they'll have the Big East tournament as a precursor to the NCAA tournament. That begins next week. The Badgers, I think, had a damaging loss yesterday on their own home floor because everybody was looking at their schedule and how it lined up, and they were getting a lot of wins. It really no bad losses on the schedule. And all the arrows pointed to Wisconsin playing its first-round matchup in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. The loss to Penn State yesterday, that could alter that opportunity, and maybe now they'll have to go to Cleveland or somebody else in the Midwest, but not playing in your backyard 80 miles away from campus. So I think a damaging loss really for both yesterday, but more so I think for Wisconsin, given that they are likely now going to have to go somewhere else to play instead of Milwaukee.
So now they both have these disappointing losses. Do you think the teams can come back? I mean, that the coaches can get them moved up ahead and, you know, really get them enthused again, that they're going to really be out there and compete and try to get all the way in the tournament?
Well, the nice part is you have the Big Ten tournament and the Big East tournament leading up to the NCAA tournament. So, you get a pretty quick turnaround and a few days to prepare, too, which I think is also important. So, yeah, both teams are going to get a chance to rest a little bit. You have no choice but to flush it. Like, the crazy things happen in the month of March. Regular season is done. Now it's tournament time, and you really have to treat it like a whole nother season. And your goals that you set out for at the start of the year are still there for both teams, despite some painful losses yesterday.
Who are going to be your top choices in the bracket?
Hard to avoid Auburn and Duke right now. I know Auburn lost yesterday to Alabama, bitter in-state rivals. They're the most talented team, I think, along with Duke. Duke is led by a couple of freshmen, one of whom played at Wisconsin Lutheran High School in Conknipple. So he has had an outstanding freshman year at Duke. So if you're looking for some hometown flavor and a team that's expected to make a pretty deep run, you look at Duke.
And do you think Marquette and or Wisconsin are going to get deep in, or do you think they're going to be eliminated pretty early on?
Well, you got to see the bracket. So this is what's going to be interesting is the NCAA tournament committee, it does a great job piecing things together, and they hunt for compelling matchups. So there should be some intrigue, I think, in the early rounds. But if Marquette is a number six seed in the NCAA tournament, this was a team ranked in the top five earlier this year. They would be a very dangerous number six seed. I can't imagine an 11 or a 12 seed on the other side would appreciate seeing Marquette because their talent level, I think, is exceeding how they're playing right now.
It's going to be exciting to watch. And speaking of Marquette, about 9:35, we're going to tell you about a new honor for their coach, Shaka Smart. So that's all ahead here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. We've got Greg Matzik with us this morning. And boy, nobody knows sports as well as Greg. And he's going to be back in just a couple minutes with the WTMJ Sports Update. It's 9:14. It's going to be a beautiful day today. I mean, we're talking about temperatures all the way up to 60. Spring is definitely here. We sprung ahead last night, and boy, we're springing into weather. And our temperature right now, 40 degrees at WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Sports desk, heartbreak for the Bucks last night, falling to the Orlando Magic 111-109. Damian Lillard had a chance to give the Bucks the lead with just seconds to play.
In the right corner, Green to inbound, gets it to Lillard. 6.6 to go, Wagner on him. Lillard, he's going to try a step back three for the win. Wide right, no good. And Magic are going to win 111-109.
Gabe Neitzel with the call on WTMJ. The Bucks are back at it tonight, taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Should be a good one. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock here on WTMJ. Marquette falls to 6th-ranked St. John's, 86-84 in overtime at Fiserv Forum. Golden Eagles look ahead now to the Big East tournament. Their first-round matchup will take place on Thursday afternoon against Xavier. Badgers basketball team falls to Penn State 86-75 on Senior Day. UW qualifies for the Big Ten tournament as the number 6 seed. NFL league year and free agent period begins on Wednesday. And the Brewers continue Cactus League play today against the Royals. Our next broadcast scheduled for Friday, March 14th.
Just in the newsroom, he's here in the sports desk too. And it's great to have you. And you know what, Greg? This is sort of Greg Matzik's day on WTMJ, because here you are on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News, but you're also going to be the guest on WTMJ Conversation this morning at 11 o'clock, and I can't wait for everybody to hear some of those little stories that you shared with us that, frankly, I hadn't heard before.
I don't know if we can get an official proclamation. I don't know if we need that from the governor or mayor's office, but I appreciate it. It was a fun conversation. I've been at WTMJ now for 24 years, which is kind of crazy to think about, and had a lot of cool experiences along the way that I've been very fortunate to have. So a fun conversation. I really did enjoy it.
Well, again, you can hear it all at 11 o'clock this morning, and Greg's going to be back with us with news at 9:30. But before we do that, in just a couple minutes, we're going to share the story that happened right here in Racine and then in Milwaukee. It's about a runaway slave, and the anniversary of that's coming up this week. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. March 10th and 11th are important but often neglected dates in Milwaukee and Racine history, because it was on that day that an escaped fugitive slave was assaulted and arrested right here in southeastern Wisconsin. Joining us to talk about it on our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is Michael Jarre, the director and producer of Liberty at Stake, the Joshua Glover story. And Michael, tell us a little bit about what happened on that night in 1854.
Joshua Glover was an amazing person and played a key role in Wisconsin history, but one that so many people have forgotten. So Joshua Glover was a fugitive slave. He had been enslaved in St. Louis, Missouri on a farm. In 1852, he made the decision to escape and somehow managed to find his way to Racine, Wisconsin, which was a strong abolitionist community. When he was there, he found a job, he found a place to live, and lived for 2 years in the freedom that he had probably always dreamt about. But his slave owner never stopped looking for him and had a $200 reward for Glover's return. So the slave catchers managed to track him down in Racine 2 years later, and Glover's owner traveled to Milwaukee to get a warrant for his arrest, put together a posse, and they went down to Racine, to Glover's cabin, and at night knocked on the door, and when the door was opened, they rushed in. They grabbed Joshua Glover, they beat him up, threw him in a wagon, still bleeding. They took him in the very cold night up to Milwaukee and threw him in jail. And it looked like he was headed back to a lifetime of slavery. But the word got out the next morning in the abolitionist community in Racine, and a huge crowd turned out, the largest crowd that had ever turned out in the town square that morning. They also sent a telegram up to Sherman Booth, who was an abolitionist newspaper editor in Milwaukee, alerting him to the fact that a fugitive slave had been arrested and was in the Milwaukee jail. So Sherman Booth prints out handbills and then gets on his horse, literally rides through the streets of Milwaukee like Paul Revere, calling out to residents to turn out on behalf of this fugitive slave and appear at the courthouse in the afternoon. On that cold March 11th day in 1854, some 5,000 people showed up outside the courthouse to demand that Joshua Glover be given due process and eventually be released. And they made speeches and they filed resolutions and formed committees. But it became clear after several hours that the officials were not going to comply with their demands. So they switched tactics They went to the site where the cathedral is on Cathedral Square today. It was a construction site. The cathedral was being built at the time. They grabbed a wooden beam. They used that to batter down the courthouse door. The crowd swept in, grabbed Joshua Glover out of his jail cell, and took him out and put him on a waiting carriage. And there was a great celebration when he was released. They then whisked him away to Prairieville, which is now Waukesha, and then they hid him in the Underground Railroad for several weeks while his former owner and federal authorities were searching everywhere for him. They eventually got him to a ship out of the Racine Harbor. There was a captain there who frequently smuggled fugitive slaves into Canada, and so he went through the Great Lakes, and Joshua Glover ended up in Ontario. He lived in Toronto for the rest of his life. He lived to be about 80 years old, and he lived in freedom the rest of his life.
It's just an amazing story, Michael. But there's also another part of this, and that's 9 days after his rescue from jail. There was another group of Wisconsin abolitionists who gathered.
Yeah, and again, this is a part of the story that almost nobody knows, and it's so fascinating. So 9 days after Joshua Glover's rescue, as you said, a group of abolitionists met up in Ripon, Wisconsin, just 80 miles to the north and west. And they met in a little white schoolhouse, and they said, we need a new political party in this country, one that's based on liberty, one that's opposed to the expansion of slavery. Abolition was at the heart of their cause, and they said, we need a new political party that's going to take a stand against the spread of slavery. They came out of that meeting calling themselves Republicans. And it's really the first time that any group had coalesced based on opposition to slavery and called themselves the Republican Party. There would be a follow-up meeting in Jackson, Michigan in July, and actually another convention here in Madison in July as well that kind of helped form the party. Put bones on that structure, but it was really in Ripon where the first group came out calling themselves Republicans. And that's important because obviously 6 years later, their first Republican president would be Abraham Lincoln. And his election would lead to Southern secession, Civil War, and eventually emancipation.
Absolutely fascinating. Now, I know, Michael, you're currently producing a documentary called Liberty at Stake, The Joshua Glover Story. And you've got just a little tidbit of that that's available for people to see online.
Yes, we put together a 12-minute mini documentary that tells the story in sort of a nutshell. And it's available on our website, www.lasfilm.com. LAS as in Liberty at Stake. But we're currently working on a full-length hour to an hour and a half long documentary production. We hope to have this distributed to Netflix and Prime and PBS and similar platforms, as well as turn this into a curriculum that could be used in schools, museums. So we are working on that. We're talking to experts and authors around the country about the Underground Railroad, about Joshua Glover's story. We want to travel to St. Louis, where the story began. We want to travel to Toronto, where there's actually a park that's dedicated to Joshua Glover in the city of Toronto. So we're continuing to tell the story, and that's what we're working on currently.
And again, the anniversary is this week, March 10th and 11th. It all happened back in 1854, right here in southeastern Wisconsin. Michael, I want to hear the whole story. I have so many questions. Will you come back and record a WTMJ Conversations with us?
Libby, I would be delighted to do that.
I can't wait. Michael Jarre, director, producer of Liberty at Stake, The Joshua Glover Story. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
It's 9:28. We're going to have a beautiful day today. We're going to have up to 60 degrees. It's 40 right now on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Still ahead this half hour, we're going to tell you what the most requested amenity for apartment hunters is right here in Milwaukee. It's, going to be a beautiful day today. We're going to get up to 60 degrees. Currently, we have 40 degrees on WTMJ. Well, if you're a Marquette fan, all eyes are on the team and their coach, Shaka Smart. And Shaka's got a new honor. Joining us to talk about it on our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is Phil Sklar from the Bobblehead Museum. And I love this. You've got a Shaka Smart bobblehead you just introduced.
Yeah, we just unveiled it. It's the first Shaka Smart Marquette Golden Eagles bobblehead, and we're really excited. We've had several requests for them over the years, quite a few actually, and excited to make it a reality as March Madness is sort of officially here.
Well, Shaka, of course, was born in Madison. So, I mean, he's a Wisconsin guy through and through. But what else is it about him that makes him special, Phil?
Yeah, definitely that local, you know, roots in the state of Wisconsin makes it extra special. But, you know, he's just such an energetic coach. He's positive. He's somebody who gets as excited as any coach you'll ever see on the sidelines. You know, when things are going great, he gets excited. When calls don't go his way, you know, he shows his emotion on his sleeve, and Marquette fans have come to love him, and he energizes his players. He's taken, you know, mid-majors like VCU, he took to the Final Four. He had 6 years with Texas, and, you know, he's really an asset to not just Marquette, but to the community. And I think that's why a lot of people have been requesting his bobblehead over the years, and we're excited to team up with Marquette to make it happen.
So describe what the bobblehead looks like.
Yeah, so we, you know, scoured the internet for lots of different pictures to see sort of the most popular poses, and, you know, we've seen him coach in person and on TV, and we wanted to get that emotion, and a lot of the pictures have him sort of crouched over, you know, getting his team excited, and thought that would be a really fun pose. It's pretty unique for a bobblehead. And then we gave him a smiling face. And a lot of the poses, he has sort of a little bit more of a ferocious face, but decided to give him the smile. And I think it'll be a bobblehead that a lot of Marquette fans will enjoy, and took the team to the Sweet 16. And I know a lot of Marquette fans are hoping he'll take him a couple steps further than that. And whether it's this year or in years to come, definitely think he has the potential. He's done it with VCU, and, you know, he's built some great teams at Marquette, and I think the best is yet to come for Marquette fans from what we've gathered.
Phil, have you gotten any feedback from Shaka Smart about the bobblehead?
Not directly. I know he's focused on coaching the team, getting ready for the Big East tournament. They have a huge game this weekend against St. John's, who clinched the Big East title and is ranked number 6 in the country, so this is going to be a huge game. Definitely would help Marquette move up in the standings. So, yeah, Coach Smart, I think, is focused on getting some more wins, getting far in the NCAA tournament and the Big East tournament. So we didn't get feedback directly from him, but we did get feedback from Marquette and from some people who may have showed it to him or approved it on his behalf, and they liked the idea and liked the bobblehead. So it was good to go from that standpoint.
I love it. Now, the Bobblehead Museum is getting more and more attention nationally, and if you haven't visited, it is so much fun. Tell us where it is, and also, I bet you're going to have those Shaka Smart bobbleheads there.
We're located right on the edge of the Third Ward in Walker's Point, right above Collectivo and Stacked Burger Bar, for people who are somewhat familiar with the area, right over the bridge from the Third Ward. We have over 10,000 unique bobbleheads on display, as well as exhibits about the history and the stories behind them, how they're made, really anything you might want to know about bobbleheads. We have several Marquette bobbleheads, and they're waiting for Shaka to come in and join them. We have Travis Diener and previous coaches and other Marquette legends from over the years, as well as obviously the Golden Eagle. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. We have scavenger hunts for kids, and we're recently selected in the USA Today 10 Best for Pop Culture Museums. So we were excited about that.
Well, we're excited for the Shaka Smart bobblehead, and Phil Sklar from the Bobblehead Museum. It is always great to talk with you.
You too, Libby. Have a great weekend.
When you have out-of-town visitors and you're wondering, okay, when do we, you know, where do I take them? What do we got? I'm telling you, go there, because there's a lot to talk about, and it's just a fun place, especially if you've got kids, because that scavenger hunt is a hoot. All right, it is 9:41 on WTMJ. Coming up in just a couple minutes, you know, I said earlier, it's sort of Greg Matzik Day here on WTMJ. Well, guess what? He is our guest on Conversations, and we're going to have a little preview of what we talk about. It's all ahead right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. WTMJ's Greg Matzik has been a leading voice for Wisconsin sports and news for over 2 decades. And as a kid who grew up right here in the greater Milwaukee area, he told me about a dream come true.
Growing up in Wisconsin, the first time you stepped into that locker room at Lambeau must have been such a rush.
It was massive. It's so big. The size of the locker room is what stood out to me. Right? You cover a Bucks game, you go into the locker room, it's small. And the people are really big. There's no room to move. You get into the locker room where the Brewers play, and that's pretty sizable, that clubhouse. You can maneuver around, but again, the old days of County Stadium, not very big. When I stepped into Lambeau the first time, it felt like its own city. It's huge. And I was always interested to see whose lockers were next to whose. The dynamics of a locker room, I always think, are very interesting.
You know, it's interesting that Greg said that you walk into Lambeau and the guys are really big. I didn't even think about that, but professional football players really are big guys. And Greg goes into all of this. He talks about his life. He talks about experiences covering the biggest names in sports, including Aaron Rodgers and Mason Crosby. And he also talks about his enthusiasm for being the co-host of Wisconsin Midday News. It's all happening this morning on WTMJ Conversations at 11 a.m. And if you want to hear Greg do some sports, stick around. He's here with us in 1 minute on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Time for WTMJ Sports Update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Tough day on the hardwood here in the state of Wisconsin. The Bucks' four-game winning streak ends with a 111-109 loss to the Orlando Magic. Damian Lillard had a chance to give the Bucks the lead late.
Right corner. Green to inbound. Gets it to Lillard. 6.6 to go. Wagner on him. Lillard. He's going to try a step-back three for the win. Wide right, no good. And Magic are going to win 111-109.
In night two of a back-to-back tonight, the Bucks will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers at Fiserv Forum. Coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock on WTMJ. College basketball, 20th-ranked Marquette closes out the regular season with an 86-84 overtime loss to 6th-ranked St. John's. Chase Ross collected a defensive rebound with 3 seconds to play in overtime, but the ball was knocked out of his hands, and St. John's took advantage.
Chase Ross, he had it. He lost it. They'll shoot and score. If it's in time, they won the game. Marquette had the ball. It looks like Ejiofor won the game. We'll see if it was before. Final, St. John's 86, Marquette 84.
Steve, the Homer True, with the call on 94.5 ESPN. Next up, the Big East Tournament. Marquette's first game will be on Thursday against Xavier. 12th-ranked Wisconsin falls on Senior Day to unranked Penn State, 86-75. UW looks ahead to the Big Ten Tournament as the number 6 seed. And the Brewers resume Cactus League play this afternoon against the Royals. Our next broadcast, scheduled for Friday, March 14th.
Greg, what's your favorite team to cover?
Oh, that is a hard one. It's kind of when things are happening and things are really ramping up. I try and soak in that moment. So covering the Bucks during the NBA Finals, that was my favorite experience of that particular year. Being able to pop on the road with the Packers on occasion, that's been incredible. Admittedly, I haven't been in the locker room quite as much. I think I have found over the years that I have really enjoyed playoff baseball as much as anything. And being there at Miller Park, now American Family Field, to cover some of those incredible runs. The series element, I think, adds an interesting layer. It's a little different than football that way, and we got to experience that with basketball as well. But over the years, just in this golden age of, I think, Brewers baseball, watching them play in the playoffs, it has been nothing short of remarkable. You start to get those anxious feelings as a fan, even though you're a journalist and a reporter covering the games. That's how I know it's something special, when I have those feelings watching something.
So I know it's early, but Cactus season is underway. How do you think the Brewers are going to do this year?
Well, everybody looks at them as a team that's always competitive, but if you look at their projected win totals, it always seems to be lower than what they actually achieve for whatever reason. So you could look at them and say they are overachievers, and really have been, I think, since Craig Counsell's first full season as manager. Where the Brewers really do well, Libby, is in the international signing world. It goes beyond the draft, goes beyond the trades, it goes beyond free agency. They have invested so much into what they do at the international level to find brilliant young talent like we saw last year with Jackson Churio. And this year there's a 17-year-old in Cactus League camp here with the Brewers named Jesus Mate.
Did you say 17
He's
years old?
He's 17 years old. He can't even vote yet, right? So he's another person the Brewers have scouted out of the Dominican Republic, and he is their top-rated prospect right now.
Wow.
So he's got a long way to go, no doubt. But we were saying the same things about Jackson Churio a couple of years ago as a 17-year-old, and look where he is now. He might be a guy getting MVP votes before too long.
Yeah.
So it's an area that the Brewers, I think, deserve a lot of credit for. They put a lot of money into those international scouting camps and finding the best of the best around the world, not just here in the United States.
And to really teach them how to play with the major leagues. It's amazing to watch. And one of my favorite things to do is going to AmFam Field. I mean, it is even if you don't don't like baseball. It's just a fun experience.
Definitely. And opening day is right around the corner, which is amazing to think about. We're just a couple of weeks away.
What day is that?
Well, the 27th, the Brewers are going to open up in New York against the Yankees. But then they come back here at the end of the month for the home opener on the home field. So we're looking forward to that. So they'll play a series in New York before coming back home to open things up.
And I know you'll be there.
Looking forward to that for sure.
Greg Matzik is with us this morning. It's Greg Day on WTMJ, and it's 9:50, and coming up in just a couple minutes, if you're hunting for an apartment around Milwaukee, what amenity are you looking for? Well, we're going to tell you the one that people ask for most. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. If you've been looking for an apartment lately around Milwaukee, you know that if you want certain amenities, those prices are going up and up. How expensive are they? Well, joining us on our Siding Unlimited talk and text line is Ernie Cotier. He is a researcher for Murphy and Prochthauser, and you've taken a deep look at this, Ernie. What did you find out about Milwaukee apartments, and how expensive are they compared to other parts of the country?
We took a deep dive into the average cost of an apartment in some of these major cities around the country, and then compared the increase for different amenities like a pool or dog park. And the findings in Milwaukee were pretty surprising, as they had the second highest increase for some of these fun amenities that people look for in an apartment nationwide.
What's the amenity that people want most frequently, especially in this city?
Kind of depends from person to person. I think a big one that does stand out is a pool. Fitness centers are also kind of big in city living as well. So it kind of depends on each person, but those are two of the biggest ones.
That's really interesting that they want a pool in Milwaukee, because what do we have, maybe a month or two every year that we can actually use it?
That's true, but I mean, an indoor pool as well as an apartment facility can really pay off there.
Now, you mentioned dog parks, and are you finding that more and more apartment dwellers want to have their pets with them?
Yeah, that is becoming more and more popular, or even just apartments that are really close to a dog park or things like that as well.
We're looking at transportation, and you're seeing more and more people, especially younger people, getting those electric vehicles. Where do they charge their cars if they're living in an apartment?
That's actually one of the things that has the biggest price increase. There are, you know, some apartment complexes that do have EV charging around the country, but that's one of the biggest price increases on average, is to be able to get an apartment complex that might have an EV charger in the parking lot or in the garages below as well.
We're talking with Ernie Cotier. He is a researcher for Murphy and Prochthauser, and they did a study about apartments in Milwaukee and how the prices here compare with other parts of the country. And that's what I really want to find out from you. Compared to other places around the U.S., how does Milwaukee compare in terms of what we pay for those apartments?
Milwaukee's fairly average for some of the biggest cities in the country, but for those increases, for those amenities, they're actually the second highest nationwide, trailing only Los Angeles, which was kind of surprising for us when we did look into some of the data here.
Wait, you mean we're higher on the list than Chicago?
Yeah, as far as increasing for the amenities, yeah, it's even higher than Chicago, which also made the list. It's number 5 for the increased cost for amenities.
And what is the average price for a one-bedroom apartment here in Milwaukee?
The average price for it is $1,144 per month for a one-bedroom apartment with no added amenities, I should add.
And if you get all those amenities we're talking about, where does that price put us?
Depends on which amenity it is. You mentioned with EV, it's then over $1,500. So that's a 37% increase. Or even ones with a pool, like we mentioned as well. That one's over $1,500 as well. There aren't many places that have all of the amenities in them, so we don't have an exact number for all of those amenities thrown in together.
And if you'd like to take a look at that study, just text the word apartment to our Siding Unlimited talk and text line at 855-616-1620. And it's 9:57 on WTMJ. Speaking about pools, it might be a pool day today, because we're going to get up to 60 degrees under mostly sunny skies. It's going to be clear and cool tonight, down to 36. Tomorrow looks sunny and warm. Again, even a little bit warmer, 61 degrees. Then we cool down a bit on Tuesday under cloudy skies, where we get to 46 for a high. Wednesday, still some clouds around and a high of 48. And then Thursday, back with some sunshine, with a high of 51 degrees. We've been warming up throughout the morning since we got started here on Wisconsin Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 42 degrees, but there's still a little breeze out there, so it feels like it's 36. You're going to have a great day today, and coming up after the news, we have Brian and David Wickard on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show, and after that, I'm going to be back at 11 talking with WTMJ's Greg Matzik. Have a great day, everybody.
The deeper the hole, the more damage you're going to